This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Wendy Chapin and Anne Roylance. Wendy is director of the play Bonjour la Bonjour, which is opening on May 12th at the Adobe Rose Theater. Anne is one of the actors in this play. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, this is a play by a apparently very well-known, that I'd never heard of, Canadian playwright named Michel Tremblay. Who is he and how did you come across his work?
It was in the 70s. I was actually, the early 80s, I was working in a conservatory in Rhode Island at the Trinity Rep, which is a regional theater there. And I needed a play that contained an ensemble cast. So I found this play, and I had read a lot of Canadian writers, but I hadn't read him. And then I started reading everything he'd written, and he is the most interesting writer I have ever read.
Really?
Yeah, he's fascinating. He has a play called Albertine Times Five, which is a memory play, and it's about two sisters, but one sister is in five age categories. So you have five actresses, a 20-year-old, a 30-year-old, a 40-year-old, 50, 60, but they all disagree about their past. It's hilarious.
And they're the same person.
They're all playing Albertine.
That'd be a casting challenge.
Yeah, but it's a blast. It's a very funny play. And he has an insight into families, the likes of which I had never seen. You know, he's sort of the Tennessee Williams, I would say, of Canada. I mean, he's introduced topics and things that weren't being written about. He was gay, and part of his whole thing about family secrets and how one comes out in a family, no matter for themselves, and standing up in their own truth, whatever that truth may be, is part of what fascinates him, because the system can be so claustrophobic, the family system.
Now, does he always write in French? This is a translation from the French.
He was the first one to write in Quebecois. I mean, really write in the French dialect of that area. He was the first one to write plays. So he was this working class kid who got, you know, somebody else like David Lindsay Hebert, who came up and was educated and got lots of privilege from being educated, but went back to his roots to write about his experience. In fact, all the characters were literally named for people he knew in his life. I mean, that were his aunts. So they got a little offended and asked that he change the names, which they did do later on in later publishings of the play.
Now, we're talking about this play, the Bonjour.
Bonjour,
play.
Bonjour, yeah.
This is a play, and I have not seen a rehearsal. I have read it, and I was sort of taken aback because it's like this dysfunctional family with everybody talking at the same time, lots of illness, lots of addiction, really unaesthetic, people not really listening to each other about half the time, if not more. And the two most sympathetic characters in the play.
Don't say.
I can't say?
You can't say, because the secret is a secret.
But it gets revealed on about page 4.
No, it's not revealed till the middle of the play.
Oh, dear. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there is a relationship in this play, which is also extremely unaesthetic, by the two most sympathetic people in it. Okay, so why should we like it?
Well, Michel Tremblay was the first to really write about working class women. He loved women. And he has an incredible insight to the way they function, the way they think, the way they express themselves. And as an actor, you know, it's so much fun to go through that, to learn, you know, what it is they want, what it is they need, and to put that on stage. But the words are all there. His insight is amazing. And that's part of the fun. And there is a lot of fun in this. I have a great time.
Now, you are one of the aged aunts
of the
main character, Serge, who is a 25-year-old young man who just got back from Paris. So he has returned from Paris to presumably Quebec, but let's call it Santa Fe or whatever, wherever this is. Sort of set in a non-specific place and time. Is that right?
Yes, but it's, I mean, the play really has this quality of the French, as French-Canadian working class that is specific, that isn't Santa Fe, that is
right
there.
And so this young man comes back to his family, and everybody wants something from him, basically.
Exactly. And that's what so much of the play does, is say, Serge, that's the boy's name, I need this from you. And someone else says, I need this from you.
No wonder he went to Paris.
he went to Paris for another reason, but you won't find out till the
middle
of the play.
Oh, yeah, that's the secret part.
That's the secret part. Yeah. But...
You know, one of my fascinations, I mean, has seriously been about families. And that role that he plays in the family of the caretaker is a very empowered role in all families.
But he doesn't want it.
Oh, he does.
You think?
Because it gives him a certain kind of central power. And I know you've traveled a lot abroad. I have. And I can't imagine being... I know the difference when I'm abroad or I'm in another country and I'm by myself, and then I return and I'm surrounded by family. It is like the most luscious experience to be reintroduced to that and so familiar milieu. And the other thing about what you say about dysfunction, there's actually my experience. There is no normal family. There is no, families vary, and there's this dysfunction, but there's always some issues. Every family has them. And there's this functional dysfunctionality. Families take on roles with each other, and it's hilarious when you identify who's in that role, who's playing the identified patient here, who's playing the caretaker, who's playing this. And it's something we just naturally do. And funnily enough, when we move on to our married lives, we often create the same system that we grew up in. Picking somebody close to our father, somebody close to our brother, mother, somebody so we can continue to play the same roles. It is such an amazing thing. And Virginia Satir's work has influenced me a lot. She writes about systems. Virginia Satir is a psychologist who just focused on family systems. So that influences me a lot in terms of this work.
And there's a delicious thing about this play, too, is that the way it's set up, it's not in acts or scenes. It's set up like a musical composition. So it opens with a trio, and then it becomes a duet, and then it becomes a quartet.
Octet.
Yeah, and so on.
And that means how many people are talking in that scene?
In a trio, there will be three people talking, quartet four, right, et cetera, et cetera. And... what happens within the dialogue is that it becomes musical because, as you said, everyone's talking at once. Not quite. One person says something, the next person answers, but, you know.
Right, but there are several conversations going on across each other all the time.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. But when we do it right, it becomes musical. And you can hear the connections. It sounds like disparate conversations, but then you begin to hear the connections between them. And it's kind of amazing. None of us have ever done a play like this except Wendy, who did it several years ago.
Now, this is a play that was in French, written in the very early 1970s
yes,
or so?
Yes, correct.
And then was translated to English, was performed in the U.S., was performed once in Santa Fe,
yeah. In the late 70s, that's what they said, yeah.
Yeah, and now you're doing it here at the Adobe Rose Theater, and it's set up in such a way that you've got not only a central area where the action happens, but the actors are sort of walking all over the stage and behind the seats and in between the seats and halfway to the ceiling and kind of all over the place.
And it's kind of the way I felt it should feel this time through, because the last time I just put them at music stands, literally, which is all the script calls for, was to have more of an immersive experience so that the audience would have the entire family surrounding them all the time.
Just like Serge, the young man.
Yeah, right. Just like Serge, the young man.
Then the whole audience is going to want to go to Paris.
No, I tell you, the one thing that's amazing about this play, and she brought it up with the musical, are these themes that continue. Like families, if you notice, they all have the same laugh, or they all have a similar way of expressing themselves, or they'll say similar things. And this one, he actually takes it and uses it to create these musical themes that run throughout the play. So it's luscious when you come upon them. It's not just when two people say the same thing. It's when you hear it in sequence, or you begin it, or one line will inform another line. It is luscious.
So it does have, I mean, it is written as a kind of, not musical theater in the sense that people are singing, but it has a musical sense in the way that it's composed that you probably don't feel when you're reading it on the page.
Not in the least.
Not
never,
at all. Not
I
at
mean,
all.
I don't think I, even the set designer, Jeff Webb, when I, he said, I don't get it. And I said, it's not linear. And he went, oh, I get it.
And that was quick.
Yeah, that was quick. And he went, as soon as he said it, he took it out of the linear. It isn't a linear play,
right.
But it has a story that is evolving, I would say. And you're beginning to find out different things as you move through this play. It's an hour and a half. It moves like gangbusters through these different, none of the actors ever get to leave the stage. There is a, you know, the lights help to focus where the audience's attention needs to be, but it's constantly moving and flowing, and it has a flow. When I first heard it in front of an audience, I was shocked at how much laughter came out of people because they identified with different elements of the play, different members of the family.
There's a pill addict.
There is a pill addict.
There's a couple of pill addicts. There's
yes,
two pill addicts.
Exactly, an auntie and a niece.
There's a
major overeater.
Yes, there's an overeater. They have anxiety, but
there's
they're
a
not,
father no, who's deaf and who is too proud to actually tell anybody that he's deaf, so everybody's screaming at him all the time.
Well, let's say he has selective hearing, and right. I'm sure everybody can identify with a family member who has selective hearing.
Yes, you know. And he does read lips. That helps.
So we don't shout at him continually.
Right. And so all of this is happening in the play Bonjour, La Bonjour, which is by Michel Tremblay, being performed by the Adobe Rose Theater. Wendy Chapin, director, and Roy Lance, who is joining us, is one of the actors, a number of other actors. Now, who's playing the lead role of Serge?
Dylan Marshall.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Whom we've seen on stage many times here in Santa Fe. Wonderful young actor. It opens May 12th, runs through May 29th, and the performances are Thursday through Saturday at 7:30, Sundays at 3. For more information, people can go to Adobe Rose Theatre, spelled in the British way, .org, Theatre. And they can also call 505-629-8688. Anything else you want to let people know before we go?
Oh, I really hope people come see this one. It is such a, it's something that everybody will identify with some element of the play. It's just a joy, and it celebrates family in the most unique way.
Thank you both, Anne and Wendy, for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mère Charlotte. Merci mille fois.
Thank you, as always, Mère Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.